Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it for me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, Somerset First United Methodist Church. It's a joy to be able to share with you this morning. It's a little different from me. Pastor Chris said I could just share from my home and do it in such a way that I just found to be comfortable. So I'm sharing to you from our back porch today on a beautiful day. And it's just a real joy. It really gives me an opportunity to share some things from my heart. So I hope that we can walk together during these next few minutes. And God will speak to us in a very profound way. Let's pray together. Lord, just be with us during this time. Speak to our hearts. Give us a new vision for your future, how you want to walk with us, and what you're calling us to as your disciples. I ask your blessing to be upon your disciples at First United Methodist Church. And may they sense your love and your presence with them this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I first want to thank you for the powerful ways which you have continued to reach out to your church family, to the community during these challenging times, to say the least. Actually, I've been blessed and just amazed by the work that all of the pastors and leaders across the Southeast Kentucky District have done during these times, this pandemic. And every church has taken seriously the guidelines in the steps necessary to get back into in-person worship, which I know you're doing as well. So I want to thank you, and we'll continue to pray for you as you move forward in the days ahead. You know, I don't like to wear a mask, but I understand that it's incumbent upon me to care for my neighbor. And if I can do anything to prevent somebody else from suffering any harm, I will do what it takes. The first rule of the three general rules of the United Methodist Church are first, do no harm. And I intend to do that. as we move forward. Still don't like it though, but I'll do it. So I want to ask you this morning, what is your next step? You know, I share this message as the superintendent for the Southeast Kentucky District with all churches at some time or another. And I'm sharing it with many churches as I speak with the leaders during this time. What's your next step? There's been some tremendous opportunities for us during this pandemic. And God has been showing us ways that we can reach out in ways we hadn't thought possible before. You're doing it. You actually are doing it in discovering that you have the capacity to reach more people than you ever did before. Unfortunately, when I ask that question, people often go to this place of scarcity and say, well, you know, if we only had this, you know, more people, more money, you know, usually a lot of times it's money, then we could do some things. If we only had X, you know, and you tell me what X is, then we could accomplish something for Jesus. But you know, when I read scripture, that's not what I see. I don't see anywhere where Jesus says, you know, you can't do because you don't have. Actually, what I see is example after example where Jesus used what was available and either changed it or multiplied it to meet the needs that were present. For example, he turned water into wine so the wedding celebration could continue and not be interrupted. He also fed people who were hungry with just a few loaves and a few fish. He used mud and spit to heal a blind man. Case in point, whatever was available, Jesus needed. Jesus used to meet the need of the person or the people at hand. And so that's our example. So I ask you today, what is your next step? You know, in asking that, I want you to reflect for a minute and consider, has it really hit you of all the ministries you currently are doing? You know, I asked Pastor Chris, what are you doing? What are the ministries that you're doing? And he sent me a long list. And I want to read this list to you. I don't have it memorized. I have to read it. And he said, locally, we support Pulaski County Emergency Relief, God's Food Pantry, and the Boy Scouts. He said, the Scouts have been meeting via Zoom. They've been working on merit badges, taken virtual hikes, and a fishing derby. And they've also been meeting in small groups to take hikes. Our Children's Table Feeding Program is serving 145 children a week. Our Wednesday night dinner, which I understand is dinner to go now, is serving on an average 150 to 160 meals a week. We are mailing worship packets to 14 families who do not have internet access. Our hospitality and congregational care teams have stayed busy. They have delivered meals to 35 to 45 people on a rotating schedule. They have volunteers that have reached out with calls, texts, and cards to many of our members. Small care packages have been delivered to help raise spirits. The first week included toilet paper. Volunteers have made masks for those who needed them to allow them to go out while feeling secure. Grocery runs and errands have been made for those who could not leave home. 5 prayer shawls have been made and delivered to those who needed extra encouragement. Volunteers made 65 casseroles to be delivered to hospice for families in need. We had a birthday parade for one of our members. We also voted to start hosting an immigration legal aid clinic prior to the start of the shutdown. Friends, you have done a beautiful thing. I want you to think about that for a minute. You have been faithful to what God is calling you to during these times. And it is nothing short of amazing. But God never stops there. The question always is, what is the next step? See, we're always going on to perfection as United Methodists. We are growing in grace. And during this time, I think our awareness is greater than it's ever been, that our society is crying out for the church to be the church. So what is our next step? They're challenging days. I mean, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. The issues of racism are in our face, like they haven't been in recent years. We don't know if it will ever be over, and it will likely never be go back to what we knew as normal. So the future will be challenging. And I think there's a sense in all of us that there are no guarantees. So how are we being called to be the church today? About 25 years ago, it was at an annual conference, Ruth Wertzema, who was the director of Connectional Ministries for the Redbird Missionary Conference, was sharing with the conference about being in ministry with the poor and what that really looked like. And I remember her sitting in front of us, and she had with her a windshield from a small, it was from a compact car, and she held it up and she said, "I want you all to look through this windshield and as you drive through your neighborhoods, and as you look through your windshield, what do you see?" I will never forget that image, because I'm not sure what I see when I drive through my neighborhood. I'm aware that I pass houses every day. They can be well-kept lawns and beautiful homes, or they can be run-down houses with all kinds of things in the yard. But sometimes it hits me, do I really know the stories of the people who live there? And the answer is no, I don't. Not unless I am very intentional. And I also have a tendency, knowing myself, that I want to fix people up. If they aren't just like me, I want to clean them up. I want to get them ready to really, you know, to be good citizens. I have to be, I'm vulnerable. I have to be honest. That's a lot of my natural tendency. That's not what God's calling me to do, to be. And so I have to turn to God in humility and in confession and say, "Lord, just give me grace. Just pour out your grace and mercy upon me. Keep me humble. And help me." And he has, and he continues to. But I need it every day, because it's not natural. So what is the next step for Somerset First United Methodist Church and for you as disciples there? How is God calling you to share the love of God with the people in your neighborhoods, that's where you live or where you pass by every day? This text from Matthew's gospel that Arlene read earlier always causes me to stop. It confronts me. Jesus, this was not a little parable that Jesus was sharing here. This was a heavy discourse. He was at the end of his ministry, and he knew that he was headed toward Jerusalem. He knew the end was near. And so he was sharing with the followers what it really looked like to be a disciple. How would you know? What is the litmus test of discipleship in as far as Jesus was concerned? And so in Matthew's 10th chapter of his gospel, Jesus shared these words, and he recorded them. And I think they kind of were to build up to Matthew 25. And into the 42nd verse, he said, "I assure you that everybody who gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones because they are my disciples will certainly be rewarded." So I ask myself, and I ask you this morning, do I see the ones in need of a cup of cold water? Do you see the little ones in need of a cup of cold water? Do you recognize what that cup of cold water is that they need? So Matthew then, As he continues to unpack Jesus' ministry, when we get to the 25th chapter, he really ramps it up when he says these words. "Well, when was it, Lord? When was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." And then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Those are powerful words, and they always pierce my heart. And I believe that Jesus isn't going to ask me when I face him, how many sermons did you preach? How many Bible studies did you lead? How many times did you show up in church on Sunday morning? How many Sunday school pins do you have? I think this is the litmus test. Karen, do you remember when this person was hungry or this person was in need? And do you remember your response? It's very sobering. But I have some insight where Jesus is coming from and what it took for him to come to a place as he lived into being the full Messiah of God, of a choice he had to make. And I learned it actually by watching a television series, Finding Jesus. I think CNN had it several years ago, or not too long ago. And several theologians and scholars participated in this. One of them was my former professor, Dr. Ben Wither, professor of New Testament at Asbury Seminary. And he shared that it was likely that Jesus did not grow up in abject poverty as a boy. The whole purpose behind this video was to share that they believe they found the boyhood home of Jesus located beneath the convent of the Sisters of Nazareth in Nazareth. And so he was saying they weren't rich, but they were comfortable because Joseph had a trade. He was an artisan of the day. And he built homes, furnished homes in Sepphoris, which is a wealthy community not far, 6-7 miles down from Nazareth. So he had a trade, and Jesus, being the son, he also had a trade. So he said it's very likely that Jesus had to choose to identify with marginalized people and the poor. It's likely that he didn't have to do that. He could have gone on just being a good Jewish boy. But as he was being called by his Father, his Heavenly Father, to live in to the full categories of Son of God, Son of David, Son of Man, to be the full Messiah, he was choosing as a human to share and see people in his neighborhood and neighborhoods around Galilee and Judea through the through God's love, the eyes of God's love. So he asked the question, understanding it's always a choice. We make choices. And so again, I say, do we see the people in our neighborhoods who Jesus would have us invite to his table? His table of mercy, his table of grace, his table of food, his table of bread and wine. Do we see those people, and do we invite those people? And do we invite those people into our hearts to care and love for them? It's a time, it's a very, very critical time for us as we live in this present day to be aware. And I want to tell you, friends, you have done a beautiful thing. You have been faithful. But what's the next step? What's the next step? What do we have to do in Pulaski County to be able to see people through the eyes of God's love? That's a prayer that I'll have for you in the days going forward. It's a prayer I have for myself every day for this entire district. There's a story, I think, that helps illustrate this for me and for you. It's a story told by Fred Craddock, who was a preaching professor at Candler in Atlanta, United Methodist Seminary. He was one of America's great preachers, and he's left multiple sermons and stories that all preachers around will draw from in the years ahead. But in this story, he is stuck in Winnipeg, Canada. He was there in late October, and an early snowstorm has come through and paralyzed the city. His host, who was to come and drive him to his meeting place, cannot even get to him. And so he says, I leave the hotel in the morning in search of some place to get breakfast. And I find this little cafe about two blocks down the street from where I'm staying. As I enter it, it's full of people, and I go in, and someone sitting in a booth shoves over and invites me to sit with them. And when I do, this large man with a big greasy apron, you get the picture, comes over and just says, what do you want? I can't do it in Fred Craddock-ese language, but I'll give you the impact. What do you want? And Craddock says, I'd like to see a menu. He said, I didn't know what they offered, so I wanted to see a menu. And he said, what do you want with the menu? We have soup. Well, Craddock says, well, then I'll have soup. And so the man brings him his soup, and he looks at it, and he says, it's very strange-looking soup, not like anything I've ever seen before. In fact, it's gray. It looks like a mouse, the color of a mouse. So he says, I'll try it. And he picks up a spoon. He takes a first sip, and he puts it down. He says, this is awful. I can't eat this. So he puts his hands around the bowl to just warm himself with the soup. About that time, the door opens, and everybody turns around, and in walks a middle-aged woman. She does have a coat on, but no head covering. And someone makes room for her in a booth, and she sits down. And the man with the greasy apron comes over to her and says, what do you want? And she says, a glass of water. So the man brings the water, and then he takes out his tablet, and he says, well, what do you want? And she says, just the water. And he says, you have to order something, lady. What do you want? And she said, just the water. And he said, with that, his voice really goes to a new level. And he says, look, lady, I've got paying customers here. Order or get out. And she says, just the water. And he says, lady, get out. And she gets up to leave. And the people in the booth with her get up to leave. And then people from other booths around the cafe, they get up to leave, and they all move toward the door. And Craddock says, the man who I'm sitting next to in the booth gets up. He says, so I get up. And we all move toward the door together with this woman. And he says, about that time, the man says, okay, 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 she can stay. She can stay. And so everybody sits down, and he even brings her a bowl of soup. Craddock says, the next thing, all I know is I can hear people eating soup. That's all the noise you hear throughout the cafe. And he says, well, I think if they can eat it, I can eat it too. And he picks up his spoon, and he begins to eat the soup. And he said, it was strange soup, but actually it was tasting very good. And he said, I've not had anything like it before. Then he says, yes, I have. It tastes like something I have tasted before. It tastes like bread and wine. It was good soup. He said, I wonder if this could ever happen in churches. Maybe it does. Friends, I believe it happens at Somerset First United Methodist Church. I believe that you are doing a beautiful thing. I believe that you are growing in God's grace every day. I believe that you are experiencing new ways to welcome the stranger, new ways to connect with the lonely, the powerless, the marginalized. You're doing a beautiful thing. Don't stop. take your next step. My prayer will constantly be for you that you, with confidence and faith, press on to the next area to which you're called, even if it's uncomfortable, because you trust in God. I'm reminded of these words from St. Teresa of Avila. They were spoken centuries ago, but they're for us today, where she said, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." Friends, just go and be the hands and feet of Christ. That's who you're called to be. And know everywhere you're called, God's gone before you. And God is with you. God will surround you with his love, care, and protection. You've done a beautiful thing. You are doing a beautiful thing. My prayer is that you will continue to stay on mission in the neighborhood, even when the times are challenging and you have to be creative and do it in new and powerful ways. Thank you again for being with you today. God's blessings on you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your people here at Somerset First United Methodist Church. I thank you that they have been faithful to you over the years and are faithful to you today. I pray that you would touch them with your grace, with your mercy, heal them where they need their hearts healed in such a way that they can go forward with new faith, new confidence, that those hearts will be full of the love of God in them. Holy Spirit, just pour out yourself among them and on them this day. And thank you, Lord, as we continue to walk with you, trusting you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Friends, blessings on you, and go forth in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.